and sisters, it is a great privilege and pleasure to be in your midst. I recognize from the program, which many of you do not have, but I was privileged to have a copy of, that this thing is supposed to come to an end at 11 o'clock. And you will imagine that I really had prepared a little reading that would have taken me a little bit beyond that. But let's see what will happen. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And I read from verse 14. From verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its tasteliness be restored? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel. I really wanted to offer you a little reading on this very well-known section of Scripture. And I want to begin by saying this, that Jesus had just given the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are a description of the character of the disciple. The Beatitudes are a description, not a prescription. It describes. And then afterwards, in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers what I call an exposition. An exposition of the description. So if you read the Sermon on the Mount carefully, you will discover that what Jesus had to say in the rest of the sermon is really an exposition of what he said in the Beatitudes. Linked between the Beatitudes and the exposition, that is from verse 13 to verse 16, we get what I call some link verses between the description in the Beatitude and the exposition of the Beatitudes. In these link verses, Jesus picks up two metaphors, salt and light. And in picking up these two metaphors, what Jesus was bringing to his disciples was the link between the description and the exposition. It's the link between character and conduct. It's the link between identity and function. It is the link between being and doing. The Beatitudes describe character. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount would describe conduct. The Beatitudes describe identity. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount would give us function. The Beatitudes describe being, and the rest describe doing. The link is to be found in salt and light. For in salt, you have that link of character and conduct. You are the salt. And in light, the same thing. Wish we could spend some time exploring this. That one of the real challenges we have as leaders and as members of the church is the break between character and conduct, between identity and function, between being and doing. That's one of the major problems of 21st century Christianity. That dreadful, tragic break between the description and the exposition. And you know, my friends, Jesus, in his wisdom, went to ordinary everyday life in his social location and picks up these two things, and he says, look, you are. This tells you what you are, and at the same time tells you what you must do. Salt and light. Now, it means that Jesus going to ordinary everyday life, Jesus is also saying, what I'm telling you is for ordinary everyday people. And Jesus using these things indicate, and if you read the Beatitudes, you will know he spoke to them collectively. Collectively. And the individual must be seen within the collective. What I want to share with you this morning is this. In the link between character and conduct, being and doing, identity and function, as Jesus uses salt and light, Jesus is saying, look, you as my people must always have an identifiable presence. An identifiable presence. Light makes no sense if it is not identifiable. Am I not right? And salt has no use if it is not identifiable. When you taste something, you say it's either fresh or it's all right. You get what I mean? An identifiable presence. And you must notice that there is a contextual reference. You are the light, what? Of the world. You are the salt, what? Of the earth. So there is a contextual relatedness. And it is within that context that you must have an identifiable presence. A serious, identifiable presence. And I think Jesus was saying this. I don't have time to tell you that Jesus is actually saying, look, your minority status does not disqualify you from having, because a little bit of salt you put in what you're putting, in the big pot. So there is no excuse for people saying we are small in numbers. There must be an identifier. None of these lights, they are not as big as the room, but they have what? An identifiable presence. So that's a little point I want to say. As Christians in the USA, in South Florida, at your workplace, wherever you are, you must have an identifiable presence. The presence is unmistakable. Where light is, you can't mistake it for anything else. Salt, you can't mistake it for anything else in his social location. Can I ask, do you have an identifiable presence for what you are? What you are. For salt is marked by its saltiness. Light is marked by its illumination. In a sense, a bulb is not a light until it is light. Are we getting that? Because it could be blown. Right? It's light, unmistakable presence. Two quick implications. If wherever you are, you have an identifiable presence because of who you are, character, being, identity. You don't need any extras to catch attention. You don't have to put on. You don't have to put on. Too many Christians think it's add-on that makes them. So they have to go after the spectacular. And they have to go after the special. And they have to do all sorts of extras. If you are who you are, you already have an identifiable presence. Just be who you are. But there is another danger that you have to watch. Don't make it so obvious that you are a Christian if you are going to have relevance and attract people. See if you can level it out that you don't look too different. Isn't that what sometimes in the church, church officers meeting you here, we lack relevance. And relevance means become like others that they may be attracted to what you are. I think you heard about truth a while ago. One of the big mistakes we make as Christians is to confuse relevance with truth. Yes, Dan. Truth is always relevant. But what we aim at making relevant is not always truthful. It's a dangerous compromise. So I leave that with you. We must have an identifiable presence simply because of who we are. Salt has that. Light has that. I quickly go on to say, if you pick up the metaphor of Jesus, you will also have to learn that if you are what you are and who you are, then you must make an invaluable difference. You must make an invaluable difference. Doesn't the salt make a difference? Doesn't the light make a difference? That's why he says salt without saltiness is useless, because it is meant to make a difference. And when you think about salt in the social location of Jesus, you don't think about salt affecting your blood pressure. Because salt in those days had an indispensable function. I hope we are understanding that. Okay? And when you transfer it to our social location, the biblical message is you must make an invaluable difference. Think of a darkened room and the light switch is switched on. Complete difference is made. Am I not right? So therefore, if you are who you are with this contextual relatedness, wherever you are, you do not only have an identifiable presence, but you must make an invaluable difference. How about that? with all we are going on with church and all the church we are doing, are we really making the difference we ought to make? Really asking, as a Christian, where you are. And as I'm saying, just be and you will do. That's it. May I quickly observe that the difference you make as a Christian, apart from anything else, it must be transformative. That's what the salt does. It's transform. It changes what is what to what some, you know, it's transformative. If you want to go to the whole time way of preaching this, that salt is preservative and salt adds flavor. That's you can't preach it that way. All I'm trying to tell you, the fundamental point is that you make a transformative difference. And that's invaluable. You need to bear that in mind. And let me just hurry to say that. You only make this transformative difference by self-giving. You don't see that? The salt gives of what it is. You get that? Yes, the salt gives up of its saltiness, but it remains salt. It's not a surrender, it's a sharing that does not diminish the essential quality. Are we seeing that? The light is only useful if it gives of what it is and what it has. Am I not right? Yes. Self-giving. Our world has transformed the mission of self-giving into self-serving, and it cripples the effectiveness of the church. All we are talking about, the Son of Man has come into the world, what? Not to be served, but to serve. Honestly, are we under that caption? Are everybody going to church for what they can get? Never get anything at all today. I'm sorry. And I hope I don't offend anybody. You know, because when you are a preacher out of your context, you still have to be very careful. But I'm sorry, because I've heard it so often in Jamaica. I suffer from it too. Why me going to where me can get something? And so we move to somewhere else just to get. And we never get anything today. Well, salt gets its best when it gives of itself. It's important. And light does its best when it gives of what it is. And the church will have no effective, transformative impact if it is not a self-giving church. And the Christian will never, ever make his or her impact if she or he is not a self-giving individual. Salt gives of itself. Light gives of itself. This is what you ought to be, and this is what you ought to do. Isn't that clear? All right, let me just give you my last word. My last word is this: you are salt and you are light. And I get the impression that, I don't know how you preach and how you teach, but one of the things you'll have to do, I think Reverend Green said something last night, was it? Reverend Green, one of the Greens, said, you used a word that was very critical. Interpretation of the Bible under the Spirit means using your imagination under the guidance of the Spirit. For imaginatively, you have to penetrate the mind of the Lord.
What is he saying? What is he saying? And when I penetrated the mind of the Lord under the guidance of the Spirit, I thought he chose these two things for this link between character and conduct, identity and function, being and doing. He chose this not only to indicate what I call, you must have an identifiable presence in your contextually related life. You must make an invaluable difference in your contextually related life. But I think he was saying, you must always be a dependable influence wherever you are. Why you think people, don't you get very upset? Well, you live in a highly developed country and you don't have this kind of problem. We don't have it so much in Jamaica now by any means. But if you know of other parts of the world, you will know this, that people can't depend upon the public electricity system. And it throws life completely out of focus. You don't know when the light is going to be on and when it's going to be off. Unscheduled power cuts. You know of these things? And only when you have some major disaster you're on the news, 40,000 people are without light. And you are thrust back into an elemental form of existence that you can't survive. You must be a dependable influence where you are. And people must depend upon you for what you are and what you are meant to be to make the difference you ought to make. Could I end by saying this? The great and dreadful problem is that we are always giving people what they want, but not what they need. And we have what they need. Saul can't give them sugar. Do we get that? You get that? And light can't give them salt. Light is light. They depend upon you for light, not for salt. Salt is salt. They depend upon you for salt, not light. And when you do not give them what they need, you let them down and let down the Lord himself. Message. Hold together character and conduct. Identity and function, being and doing. That's what you get in these bridge verses between description and exposition. You must have an identifiable presence. You must make an invaluable difference. You must be a dependable influence. Salt.